Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable. We are talking about sex and sexuality, specifically in the book Dracula by Bram Stoker.
One of the things that I think begins in this book, there are times where you almost can't help but kind of be rooting for Dracula. You know, he's like an anti-hero. I don't know. You're almost like, well, you know, I mean, we get sucked into, no pun intended, you know, yeah, I know, but this transformation from vampire as villain, as evil, to the hero of the story, the protagonist. I mean, certainly in stories like Twilight, True Blood, Anne Rice novels, and other more modern vampire stories, the vampires are quite often our protagonists, right?
Right.
This book gives the seeds of that. It's very, I can't right in the moment pick a certain scene where I'm like, oh yeah, Dracula, go, man, go, you know, but I do know that I'm always just a little bit sad when they kill him, you know? So I must love that character in some way, right? You know,
we kind of fall under his spell as readers too.
I know, and I think the world did. So
he's just so much larger than life.
Yeah,
that's the appropriate word.
Yeah, and he's such an interesting character. But let's get back to the sexy. Let's talk about some of the other guys and some of the other situations. Now, first of all, is Jonathan sexy or is he like Ashley? Is he kind of like an unmanly man, a little more effeminate, a little too sensitive? What do we think about him? Is he sexy? I mean, Mina leaves England to go marry him in his hospital bed in where is it? Not Bavaria. Something that starts with a B. I can't remember. You know, wherever he is after he escapes from the castle.
Maybe in Budapest?
Budapest. Thank you. I knew it started with a B. Yeah. You know, she finds him attractive. And is, you know, even when he's at his physically weakest, least manly, he's in a hospital bed. You know, he's had a physical and nervous breakdown, and yet she zips herself over to Budapest to marry him at his bedside, in his, you know, as he's in a hospital bed. So
yeah, I don't think that Jonathan is particularly sexy. I think he is a stronger character than Ashley Wilkes.
Yeah,
if we want to
almost any man is. Let's be real, you know.
But he does eventually, you know, halfway through the book or so, when he realizes, okay, I didn't imagine this whole thing. I have confirmation from Van Helsing this really happened. I'm going to, you know, man up here and get my tools and join the Kill Vampy Squad.
Yep.
You know, so I think that he is more masculine as Ashley Wilkes, but I wouldn't say extremely sexy.
Yeah, and I think this is a good moment to say that masculinity doesn't always equate with sexiness.
True.
I don't mean sexuality. True. I mean sexiness. You know, for a woman to think he's sexy is very different than for a woman to think he's masculine. Yeah, yes, he, you know. And I just don't find him very sexy at all. I find myself feeling very sorry for him and everything he endures when he's captive in the castle, so to speak. I mean, he is just tortured in every way possible. And I feel badly for him. I think the vampire women are, you know, quote-unquote lusting after him, you know, because he's the only man that's been in the castle, right?
They want a snack.
Exactly. It's like he could be the most hideous guy in the world, and they'd still want to suck his blood. So it doesn't have anything to do with Jonathan being attractive or sexy. He's food, you know, and that's kind of sad. I mean, but in a way, the feminist in me was like, ah, he's just an object, you know? And the tables have turned, you know? So, I mean, I kind of enjoyed that aspect of his captivity, which is terrible of me to say, but it's true. And so let's look at that scene where he is in anticipation of being bitten by the three female vampires is so sexually charged. I encourage everybody to go read that scene. Don't rely on any movie or TV adaptation. Read the scene. But let's talk a little bit about some of the other guys. I think we've established that Quincy, the American, is very manly.
Yeah, I personally found Quincy just a little sexy and kind of a, you're a stereotypical gunslinging, humorous, Texan American.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that he is a well-drawn out and thought-out
character.
He's
very one-dimensional, right? I mean, I think the difference between, say, a Dracula character and a Jonathan or a Quincy character is that the Quincy and the Jonathan characters are much more one-dimensional than is the Dracula character, which was very smart writing on Bram Stoker's part to make us see and feel more about Dracula than these other guys. That's why at the end I'm sad when he dies, you know, because he's the one I knew the best.
Yeah, very interesting. I didn't find Arthur, the one that Lucy's supposed to marry, I didn't find him particularly sexy, or John Stewart.
No. They're just decent guys.
Ben Helsing's
kind of
older.
Yeah, I know. Ben Helsing. I mean, here I am 57 years old thinking Van Helsing's like a really old man. You know, he's probably younger than I am.
Well, I think that he's cast so much as that obscure mentor figure.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes fatherly.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to think of him as sexy.
Right. I feel the same way about him as I do about Professor Bear. I don't find them attractive in as male characters. I don't, you know, I don't remember how. I think somewhere in Dracula it says how old he is. I just don't remember.
No, I can't remember either.
Van Helsing. But let's say that our other main characters are all in their early to mid-20s, okay? So even if he's 50, he's old to them. If he's 45, he's old to them. Mm-hmm. Professor Bear, similar. You know, Jo is very young in Little Women. She's in her early 20s. And he is clearly older than her. So he could be in his 40s, or I don't know, I don't remember if his age is given specifically in Little Women, but Professor Bear could be 10 to 15 years older than she is. Much like Van Helsing probably is to these younger people that he is helping. I don't see either of those guys as particularly sexy. But we're only talking about Dracula right now. So Van Helsing, not so sexy. Although I respect his intellect.
Yeah. And I can see various adaptations trying to make Van Helsing sexy. Like, let's make Sean Connery Van Helsing.
Oh, and yes, let's do that. Why not? Let's just put Sean Connery in anything, you know? Yeah, and you immediately have sexy. And see, that's, there again, you have that it factor, okay? I mean, and that's the fun thing about adaptations is that casting can change the story.
For sure.
You know? It can certainly, I mean, imagine if anybody but Rhett Butler had been cast, or Clark Gable had been cast as Rhett Butler. That character might not have come across on screen as powerful and as alluring and as charming as Clark Gable was able to portray him. So, and I think the same is true with the characters in Dracula. It really matters who plays these parts in adaptations, which hopefully one of our podcasts in the future will deal with a little bit more of adaptations. Just on Dracula alone, we could talk for, you know, for so many hours about the different adaptations. But getting back to our topic of today, you know, Lucy and Mina as our main female characters, they are so objectified by Dracula and in many ways by the other male characters. I think Lucy comes across in some ways as the more sexual object than Mina, because Mina has that problem of being intelligent, you know, she's womanly and intelligent, where Lucy is just more of that physical look and appropriately, you know, not grounded in, she's not known for her intellect, let's put it that way. You know, they're both pretty much objectified as female characters, don't you think?
I definitely think that Lucy is. Mina, I go back and forth on. I think some scenes she is objectified, particularly, well, let's say about 50% to 80% of the way through the book. Mm-hmm. That section there where it's like, nope, we are shutting you out of the Kill Vampy squad.
Right.
Go to your room.
And that's after Lucy's dead, right? That's right. After Lucy has been taken by Dracula. Well, she's undead, but they think she's dead. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's almost like the focus of the female... main female character shifts from Lucy the object to mm-hmm. Mina the object, because then of course Dracula, Dracula's going after Mina too. So that's very interesting. I think the sexual nature of the interactions between Lucy and Dracula are much more overt. We get more of a sexual feeling. I mean, Lucy is described, you know, when she's, you know, pining at her window, you know, and she's losing weight and she's pale and all that stuff. It literally says in the book that is like a person in love, you know, that her physical symptoms are the symptoms of a person in love. So we definitely have this element of she has a secret lover, right? Mm-hmm. And it happens to be a vampire named Dracula. And, you know, which is kind of funny, because I always think of Dracula, he's kind of in the closet at this point, you know, he's a secret, she's, you know, and, but then even in the scenes where Mina sees them from afar, and Lucy's sitting on the bench, and Dracula is this dark, shadowed figure, you know, kind of coming over Lucy, that has a sexiness to it, that has that secret lover, who is she meeting, what is that, what's going on, you know, and so I think their relationship is charged with some sexual imagery and
absolutely. And you mentioned the word that Bram Stoker loves to use. You mentioned it earlier, voluptuous.
Yes.
He loves that word.
Well, it's so it really triggers people, doesn't it? You know.
Well, and also it's the way he uses it, mm-hmm. because he doesn't simply mean somebody with curves.
No,
he is using it in a way that is negative. Mm-hmm. Which means this is a woman who is sexually trying to get some action.
Right.
She is the I don't even want to say aggressor, because I don't even think he necessarily means aggressor all the time, but just she's the one taking the initiative.
She's definitely a willingly going after it, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. She's in pursuit of,
right.
You know, she's a, you know, and we know she might be, like, mind-controlled by the supernatural being that is Dracula, but... she appears to be seeking, aggressively wanting, desiring this relationship.
Right.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion of sex and sexuality in our four nice books this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Dracula, and Little Women. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.